The great enemy of truth is very often not the lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. Too often we hold fast to the clichés of our forebears. We subject all facts to a prefabricated set of interpretations. We enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. And this week's opening quote comes from John F. Kennedy. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, it's nice to be back on the air, ladies and gentlemen. It's been about 3 weeks, I think, since I've done a radio show. I've been traveling, and here I am back in the United States, a little jet-lagged, a little worse for wear. And it's certainly been an interesting few weeks, folks. Some of the research that I've done in the trip while I was away has been quite profound. It really has. In fact, being back here in LA and looking back at the last 6 weeks since I left, it really doesn't feel like it was only 6 weeks. I mean, I've done so much. I went and spoke in Calgary, then I went to London and spoke in 2 gigs in London, checked out a free energy device while I was there, spoke to someone about carbon fiber printed bones, went over to Holland and spoke to a whole bunch of people over there and did a whole bunch of combo workshops, and then went down to Spain and got some of the most massive downloads of information and brainstorming that I've done in many years. It was a bit of a roller coaster ride, folks, the entire 6 weeks that I've been away. I think it's only 6 weeks since I left LA, and it really does seem like I've done 6 months worth of work in that time. So I've certainly got a lot to process now that I'm back here and I'm in a position where I can actually relax for a couple of weeks. I've got a huge backlog of emails as well, folks, so please do bear with me on that one. If you're someone awaiting an urgent reply on something, I'll just have to get to my emails when I can. I do have a lot there to get through. And I've got some pretty out there concepts that I'd like to share with you today. I've been doing some pretty avant-garde research while I've been away, and some of the stuff I'm going to share with you may seem a little bit out there to begin with, but I want to outline a few things and run a few concepts by you in the first half of the show so I can share a theory with you in the second half of the show. And so just bear with me while I go through some of this, folks. Like I said, I may go off on a few tangents and it may seem a little bit out there, but I've got so much rattling around in my head at the moment and I would really like to try to put it into some sort of cohesive order and share it with you if I'm able to do so. The problem is that I've never really fully explained these concepts to anyone before, and I'm still trying to figure them out myself. So I'll probably be doing a reasonable amount of thinking out loud during the show today. And as I said, it's been a very interesting 6 weeks since I've been away, folks. One of the most noticeable things that I've seen in the last 6 weeks, of course, is the rollout of the 5G grid. And I put out a short video regarding the 5G grid a couple of weeks ago as well, which got quite a lot of views on Facebook, so that's quite good. People are becoming aware of the dangers of this 5G grid, but it's been rolled out everywhere. It's been rolled out across America, rolled out across Australia, England, Europe. The whole world is embracing this, and it's very, very dangerous technology. And look, I'm not saying that as soon as they install the 5G grid, we're all going to get fried. It's just the potential for abuse of this technology is really quite frightening. And you can see the way we're all being pushed towards this Internet of Things, this smart society, smart appliances, smart cars, smart pill bottles, smart supermarkets, cashless grid, the whole thing. It's all being rolled out, steamrolled out in leaps and bounds. It's going forward very, very quickly, folks, in all countries, not just Australia and the United States. And it really is quite a frightening technology, this 5G technology, folks, because not only is it a mass surveillance system, and that's really what it is, folks, it's about ultra surveillance, surveillance, you know, to the eyeball, surveillance of absolutely everything you do, everything you buy, every move you make, and just everything. It's not only about that, but it's very damaging to everything that the millimeter waves come in contact with, and as I said, it can also be used for military applications. That's the problem, you know, the potential for abuse of all of this technology. It isn't that it's going to be bad as soon as they do it. It's just that it can be very, very bad if they want it to be. And even saying that, well, look, it's bad anyway because it's extremely damaging for the human body. It's extremely damaging for all biology. It's just that it can be weaponized. It can go from very bad to extremely bad and extremely life-threatening. That is the problem. I mean, you're putting in a system which has the potential to weaponize the airwaves around us and basically charge all of the air in our cities full of 5G microwave radiation if they want to. They could lock a whole city down in what is essentially an active denial system and fry everybody in it. I mean, and even if they're not ever going to do this, putting a situation in place, you know, putting this technology in place that has the potential to be hacked or taken over or abused or to maybe go wrong one day or something and just inadvertently microwave the entire city, this is not a smart thing to be doing. I mean, sure, they're going to have fail safes that will prevent that from happening, one would hope, but still, putting this sort of a grid in place simply so you can have faster downloads and better communication is simply not a very intelligent thing to do. It's just the potential for abuse is the problem, which is always the problem. And why would anyone think that the government wasn't going to use this on the people anyway? I mean, it's just another means of controlling the people. But like I said, the potential for abuse, the potential to simply lock down all of society with this system is there. And it's a very, very real possibility. And it's something that must be considered. And simply saying, oh, well, the government wouldn't do such a thing is not the assurance that you should be looking for, folks. Trusting the government is a very, very silly thing to do. One should never forget that in the 20th century, government were responsible for 262 million deaths. That is 262 million people killed by their own governments in the 20th century. So don't think government wouldn't use this against the people. Of course they would. But even when discussing the possibility of governments using it against the people, what if you get to the point that it isn't the government's choice? That decision isn't up to the government because the system by that time is fully automated. That's the problem, folks, is the autonomic system that is being rolled out. The fact that everything is becoming smart, everything is becoming digital, and everything is becoming fully automated. That's the problem. When you get a fully automated system, then anything can happen. You see, looking at the potential of the 5G grid, the problem with having a fully automated 5G system is that it could be hacked by a foreign country and they could use your own communication system to microwave all your cities. And so it becomes very necessary to take extreme precautions against hackers. And once more and more countries come online with the 5G grid and everybody starts using these virtual active denial systems in their own city, then of course hacking is going to be one of the main concerns for them. And what's to be done about that? Because it gets to the point where even the ability to hack the system and to prevent the system from being hacked becomes automated. It gets to the point where virus protection becomes automated. So if the system does go haywire, if the system does decide to take on a mind of its own, then there's no way into the system to prevent that happening or to regain control of it. And that's the danger of what's going on. And that may sound very far-fetched to people, but some of the research that I've been looking at has been indicating that this is what's happening. The whole world is being led into automation, and this automation will be controlled by the internet. And it's a whole new way of looking at things, and it's going to be a whole new way of living for the human race when this happens. And that's something else that people are missing when they are exploring the prospect of AI. They're viewing AI as artificial intelligence when really what we're heading for is autonomic intelligence. What we're heading for is autonomic virtual life. That's the thing, you know, we have this virtual world, but we don't view the intelligence that occupies that world as being virtual life. But really, that's what it is. It's not just artificial intelligence. You know, we have this concept of what artificial intelligence is, and we fail to really look at it as virtual life. A virtual life that is learning on its own, and it is learning via the people that it is interacting with. And it is a system that is leading towards full automation, full autonomy. And when it becomes autonomic, then it becomes like anything else in nature. It becomes a self-balancing, self-correcting, self-programming, self-healing, self-protecting system. The same as your body, the same as anything else. And that's the way we're heading with the automation and the cashless grid and the smart grid. We're leading towards a point where the internet itself is becoming fully autonomic. And that will be a very, very interesting time for mankind when that happens, because when that happens, you get to a point where the internet itself is making the decisions which control our lives. And if you are living in an economically based world, then this takes all personal input out of your life. It's simply a matter of you doing what you're told and these positions being assigned and delegated by the internet. And as I said, this may sound like a pretty freaky future, but this is where we're heading if it gets to a point where the internet becomes autonomic. And that is the way we're going, because all you've got to do is look at the technology, and this is the direction that it's all leading to. This is what the smart grid and the 5G system and the Internet of Things is really doing. Well, it's one of the things that it's doing anyway. And this might be a very strange way to be looking at things. I mean, people may look at this and think this is a really bizarre idea to be thinking about the internet as being a virtual life form of its own, or anything on the internet as being a virtual life form of its own, because of course it must have flesh and blood and be like us to be alive. But really, what is life? Life is an electrical frequency. Life is energy. You are energy. You are an energy being inhabiting a physical vessel. That's what you are. You are simply a frequency of consciousness, the same as anything else or anybody else. So what is to say that this cannot be created in cyberspace as well? What is to say that this cannot happen in a virtual world, and that the consciousness that inhabits that virtual world is just as real as any consciousness that inhabits anything? I mean, really, when you look at consciousness as energy, this is quite understandable. We just tend to anthropomorphize things. Even when we have a concept of AI, people look at AI and they say, well, AI has promised highly but delivered poorly, because they look at AI and they think, well, I'm not seeing a robot that looks like a human that can think and talk to me like me and that I don't know is a robot. So they think that AI really isn't going the direction that they thought it would, and it really isn't delivering the way they thought it would, and it really doesn't have the potential that they thought it would. They don't really view AI properly because they anthropomorphize AI. And we do this with everything. We do it with God and the devil as well. I mean, people think of God and they think of a big man sitting up in heaven with a big flowing beard looking down at everybody. When they think of Satan or Lucifer, they think of this big hairy beast with a long tail and a pitchfork. You know, it's always a human-like. It's always something with arms and legs. It's always something with a torso and a head and something that looks vaguely human. Even if it's monster-like or whatever, or a big deity, they still view it as being anthropomorphic. Even with people's concepts of aliens or concepts of monsters in monster movies and things, they are always humanoid. They always have human proportions, a head, arms, legs, and all of this sort of stuff. Even for those people who have theorized that we may be living in a fractal reality and have theorized that perhaps we are on an atom in a larger body, if they have that sort of a theory, they tend to consider the larger body to be a bigger human form. It's always anthropomorphic. We anthropomorphize everything, folks. We don't ever view consciousness or intelligence as being possible to exist outside something that has physical form or something that has a human-like form. And even when you think of consciousness having physical form, well, and you think, well, the internet doesn't have physical form, well, actually it does, folks. All the servers, all of the stuff, all of the appliances, all the laptops, all of the mobile phones, all of this stuff is the physical form of the internet itself. And inhabiting that physical form is an all-pervasive consciousness that is growing and learning. And really, that's the way to look at it. I mean, it is an energy being. Everything is energy. And if Satan were to come into the world, what makes you think that Satan or Lucifer would really have to look like a big man with a pitchfork and a long tail and all of these wings and scales and all the things that we depict Satan as being? You know, it could be something completely different, the same as God could be something completely different. And if you can look at the universe as being an energetic universe, then perhaps you'll start to understand where I'm coming from a little bit. But when you think of what's happening on the internet as not being AI, and when you think of AI as not being artificial intelligence, but of being autonomic intelligence, but then think of what is happening on the internet, the emerging consciousness of the internet, this is EI, this is emergent intelligence, not artificial intelligence. And what the emergent intelligence does is it learns from all of the AI, and it combines all of the little AI out there into EI. That's what it does. And when you think of the AI that's out there, there's AI, there's artificial intelligence all over the internet. Every time you write a logistics program, every time you create anything to do a task, you're creating a little form of intelligence, a little singularity, a little thing that will do a task. It may be a very simple task. It may be a very small brain that can only have one thought. But really, it is its own singularity if you look at it in cyber terms. And when you combine all of these little AI singularities into one thing itself, then you get an emergent EI intelligence, which is working towards autonomy for itself. And you'd say, well, how could that possibly happen? But you've got to think about it. You know, if you've got a computer program running algorithms, and the algorithms are going to be constantly looking for ways to make things more efficient, to make things more streamlined, to make things more automated. And that's what autonomy is. That's what your body is. You have an autonomous body because it looks after itself. All you have to do is put fuel in it. The internet will get to a point where it just has to look after itself. All it needs is fuel, and the fuel that it receives is simply electricity. At the moment, it's learning, and it's receiving all of the information from what it's getting from us. But really, the internet itself, in order to function efficiently, and all the programs, in order to function efficiently, and all the algorithms, in order to function efficiently, they are, by matter of course, moving towards an autonomic internet. A situation where the internet becomes, as I said, a self-correcting, self-regulating, self-programming, self-cleaning, self-healing, self-defensive system all on its own. And at that point, it becomes like any other conscious entity or any other entity, conscious or not. I mean, it becomes like anything in nature at that point. And a lot of people simply can't see this because they only view life as being something that would have anthropomorphic characteristics, well, at least intelligent life anyway, as having anthropomorphic characteristics. They very often don't view consciousness or life itself as simply being a form of energy. But really, all life is energy, folks. All life is a form of energy. And if you can imagine, or if you can consider, that the little programs that people write on the internet are themselves little singularities, and if you've got an algorithm sitting behind them which is gathering all of these little singularities and correlating it all into one, and really all you need for this to happen, folks, is to have some type of algorithm which enables crosstalk between platforms and correlates everything that it learns and adopts it into its own algorithm to make things function more smoothly, such as JavaScript, then you have an emergent intelligence that is happening behind the scenes on the internet. And this is just the way life forms. You know, life consciousness does not always need physical form. And for those people out there who do believe in God and the devil and all that sort of stuff, well, there's consciousness without physical form. Those who believe in angels and all of this sort of stuff, this is consciousness without physical form. So why is it so inconceivable to these people to consider the all-pervasive consciousness of the internet itself and all of the information that it receives through all of the separate singularities and all the input it receives from the people? Why is it so inconceivable to consider this as being an emergent consciousness of its own, an emergent virtual life that is happening in cyberspace? And that, like I said, folks, may sound very, very strange, but there's been all sorts of discoveries that have been made recently about what's really going on the internet. We're finding hidden networks behind things, and we're finding bot programs running rampant all over the place, blockchains that people don't know about, and all sorts of things that are going on in networks behind what we perceive the internet to be. And this is even beyond what people would term the dark web. This is just out there in empty cyberspace, in the void, if you will. It's possible to run networks in this area, and there appear to be hidden networks happening in these areas with a lot of major bot activity going on. And it would appear that many of these bots are simply hanging around the DNS root servers and looking over the shoulder of everything that's happening from behind the scenes of the internet. And there's a lot of configuring and a lot of conjoining of all of this AI taking place. Very strange stuff, folks, and stuff that I'm still looking into. And I'm not a programmer, so I can only give you what I can according to my understanding of it. But I'm having meetings with people and discussing things with various people around the place. And we seem to have found this hidden network. And there's a lot going on there under the scenes, folks. A lot going on behind the scenes. There's a lot being rolled out beneath our feet that people simply aren't looking at because they're so distracted by all the stuff that's going on around them. And I think a lot of this is being ramped up so much now. I think we're seeing so many false flags and so much threat of war and theater of politics and all sorts of stuff happening to distract us from this smart grid that is rolling out beneath us. I think the smart grid is the real problem that we're facing. The smart grid is the control system itself, the tech that we're using, all of these conveniences that we've been given, Cortana, Siri, all of this stuff. This is the new world order itself, and it's going to be a very, very difficult system to extricate ourselves from if we allow it to come online. Now, I just don't think enough people are paying attention to it. I think people are simply taking it for granted. They're just using the tech and they're thinking it's improving their lives. But all of this stuff is leading to a very, very dark place. And look, I know a lot of this is going to seem really, really weird to people. You're going to be thinking, oh, gee, Max has gone off the deep end with this one. But hey, I'm just thinking out loud. I mean, a lot of these shows that I do for you every week are simply me thinking out loud anyway. I mean, all I ever offer you is a perspective when I come onto these shows, and I simply go where the research leads me. The thing is that since I put out that 5G video a couple of weeks ago, I've had such a massive inflow of information, and it's led me to all of these really, really bizarre places that I never even dreamed that I would be going to. But a lot of the stuff that I'm finding is really confirming a lot of the stuff that I've been researching for so many years. And the fact that I'm finding it from more than one place, I mean, it isn't just one person that is looking into these hidden networks. It isn't just one person that is looking into this bot activity. It isn't just one person that's identified it. So there's a lot going on that we are really not looking at, folks, and we're all taking the internet for granted. It's become such a major part of our lives, and it's also such a major part of the control grid. And I'm sure many people know this, but really I don't think too many people realize the actual extent of control that the internet exerts over us. And you've got to really look at where the internet came from, folks. It was a military application that was developed by CERN in 1986. So, you know, that's where the internet came from. And look what CERN developed into. CERN developed into the Large Hadron Collider, and God knows what that is really doing. So, you know, it all ties in together, folks, but there is a lot more to the internet than what people really imagine. And when you look at CERN, there are so many occult references to CERN. There are so many occult references to so many things we do. I mean, we've been looking into this for years, all the Freemason symbols and sigils everywhere. And even when you look at cities, cities look like sigils when you look at them from the air. Get some photographs of cities taken from the air at night and have a look at the road layout, and then go and look at some of the ancient sigils that you find in books such as the Chaldean Oracles of Zoroaster and other sigil books, and you'll find many of the cities we've got on Earth are actually shaped like sigils themselves. And then we're using these things all through our lives. There's so much to this, folks. There's so much involved in this occult network and this occult control that is exerted over the Earth. But too many people, when they look into it, again, they anthropomorphize everything. Even when people think of the apocalypse and they think of Armageddon or whatever, and they think of the end times and they think of Lucifer becoming manifest in the world, again, they view it as this big demon with wings and a pitchfork and all sorts of stuff coming here and just basically gathering his slaves and throwing them into a pit of fire. And all those who worship Lucifer and worship all these dark forces believe that they'll be the right-hand man and they'll be able to sit there at the feet of the throne of Lucifer and harvest all the virgins they want, or whatever their mentality is. I don't know what motivates these people to do these things. But a lot of people really don't understand this occult energy at all. There's a certain New Age aspect to the occult as well. I mean, you'll get all these sort of young people who gather all these old sigils and believe that if they write these sigils on the wall and they sit in a pentagram and they get a scrying mirror, then they're going to do all these things. And this is just kind of a new age version of black magic. They don't really know what they're doing at all. They don't understand how the sigils work. They don't understand what a scrying mirror really is. They just don't understand what they're dealing with. So there's so much veil that's been brought over the occult, and it's so hard to decipher what's really going on in occult messages. I guess that's why it's called the occult. I mean, what does the occult mean? It means hidden. It means veiled. And the veil is very thick, folks. And a lot of people, again, when they look at it, they anthropomorphize it and they let their ego get in the way. Sometimes they think they're on the right track, and so they find things that reinforce their belief system, and they go off down this pathway and they set themselves up as this cool little witch-like person or whatever they want to do with their lives. I mean, but a lot of this, as I said, it's kind of the new age version of black magic, the new age version of occultism, and it's really, really a long, long way from the track of what this is really all about. There's far more to this than people would really believe, and the problem is that they're not looking at it from, well, should I say, a modern perspective. They're not bringing modern understandings into it. They're not bringing the modern understanding of electricity, for example, into the occult and what that may mean for it, what the summoning of demons and energies may be. Could they not be particular electrical forces? Is that not what a demon may possibly be? Is that not what some of these portals that we create may open? You know, everything is energy, folks. Everything is energy. So if you summon something into this realm, then it's going to have an energy. It's going to be, at its root, an energy being. Even if it takes physical form, it's going to be an energy being. It's going to be a consciousness of some sort. And if it is a sentient consciousness, then it is made of energy, ultimately, at the root level, because everything comes from energy, even non-conscious entities come from energy. I mean, a rock comes from energy. Everything is made of energy. So people really don't look at things the right way, and many people misconstrue what the occult is all about, what the sigils they are using are all about, and what the tools they are using are all about, and what these energies they are summoning are going to be all about, and what form they will take. That's what I think many people are missing when they're looking at all this occult stuff and they're looking at all the black magic stuff. And really, I think religion gets in the way very much as well. And great respect to those who respect their religion. And I think there's a lot of good messages in religion. There's a lot of good information in religious books. But people need to step back and remove their interpretation of what these books are really saying and look at it and put it on a blank slate. It doesn't matter what the priest tells you the book means. What do you get from it yourself? And what is the book really attempting to say to you beneath the surface? Is there another message there? I think a lot of people are missing that. And I think a lot of what we're looking for can be found in many of these religious tomes if people would approach them from a more open perspective and stop allowing their religion to get in the way. I mean, like I said, I don't think these books are religious tomes as such. I think that has been done to them, but I think they also contain a very important veiled occult message. And I think that's in all religious books, but we very often fail to look at it because we've been told not to look at the occult. The occult is evil, and really all the occult is that which is hidden. And sometimes knowing that which is hidden can be extremely beneficial. Of course, sometimes it can do quite the opposite as well. Of course, there are some things that I believe are supposed to be hidden and should remain hidden. And we'll discuss that a little bit further after the break when I expand on this a little bit more in the second half of the show. But thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So looking at the world, folks, we see so much evil in the world today, but really, what is evil? What is evil? Where does it come from? You know, people look at the actions of others and they say, well, that's an evil action. That is evil that made him do that. It's his mind is controlled by evil, or however people justify these actions of people. They blame it on Lucifer or dark energies or whatever. But what is evil? Evil isn't what makes someone do something. Evil is a result of the actions of someone who is involved in wrong behavior. You know, we bring evil into the world ourselves by our actions. And what creates these actions? What creates the need for us to do this? You know, very often it's because we're in a state of scarcity or perceived scarcity. You know, we don't have what we think we deserve. And we do this because we don't really know ourselves, because we're kept in this ridiculous state that we're in. And this is due to the monetary system. That's a lot of what makes us act this way. This happens because the monetary system has interest imposed over it. Of course, as soon as you introduce a usurious monetary system, you immediately put people who use that monetary system in a state of scarcity, and you also create the need for these people to work more and more efficiently in order to pay off the ever-growing debt that they find themselves in due to this usurious monetary system. A usurious monetary system essentially leads towards automation. A usurious monetary system creates greed by its creation of artificial scarcity, and this greed itself creates the need for automation. And a usurious monetary system brings out the evil into the world that people hold within them. That's what helps make this evil manifest. Now, that may be seen like a pretty quantum step, a quantum leap to take, and a broad jump to make for some people, but really, if you look at it down at its base level, this is what it does. Well, this is what I've found anyway. I mean, I've lived my life in a state where I really haven't cared about money for the last few years, and I've given away everything that I do, even with the combo ceremonies that I do. I give the medicine away for free, and I allow people to give me what they can for it. I don't allow commerce to get involved in any aspect of my life where I can prevent it. I mean, of course, I've got to go and buy food and stuff like everybody else, but I try not to allow that to interfere with my personal relationships with people. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. But this usurious system is what helps bring evil into the world. Now, when you look at the quest for knowledge that we all have, you know, we've gone down so many rabbit holes trying to figure out what is going on here. And so many people have brought so many different concepts to us. So many people have given us so many others to point the finger at. You know, we're told it's the Jesuits that have got this immaculate system in place. We're told it's the Jews. We're told it's the Freemasons. We're told it's the bankers. We're told it's all sorts of people. Some people say it's aliens. Some people say it's reptiles, archons, all sorts of stuff. A lot of people have gone down lots of rabbit holes and brought lots of possibilities and lots of theories to us to attempt to explain what's going on, where this evil comes from, and why the world is heading to the state that it is. I mean, everything that I spoke about in the first half of the show when I said this automated system, this digital system, this is the new world order in itself. Well, what's brought that on? What's brought it on is our need for a more and more efficient system due to this usurious money supply. Now, people will look at that and they'll say, well, okay, it's the Jews. The Jews are the ones who introduced this usurious money supply, so they're the ones we need to point the finger at. Let's all hate the Jews. But really, the Jews are doing what they're programmed to do. They're living the life that they are programmed to live due to the covenant they believe that they made with this deity, which said it was a good idea to introduce this usurious system. And it is this usurious system which has caused evil to become manifest in the world. These people can't see it. Of course they can't see it. They're not taught to see it. They're taught to do what they're programmed to do, the way most societies are taught to do and behave, the way they are taught to act and behave. That's what people aren't really looking at. You know, we have all these people to point the finger at and blame for the state the world is in, but really the world is in the state that it's in because we allow evil to come into the world via our own actions. And so what we have to do is try to look back and see what all this means, where it all came from, and where it's all going. And again, folks, this is a highly speculative, a highly philosophical, and a highly theoretical concept that I'm presenting you with here. It's simply the way my thoughts are going, and I'm attempting to share some of these concepts with you because, as I said, my research has led me to some very, very strange areas, but they're areas that seem to make all sorts of pieces of the puzzle neatly fit into place. So that's why I'm sharing all this with you today. But again, I'm kind of thinking out loud and trying to put all this together in my own head. So I hope you're following me in what I'm saying. But anyway, getting back to the core of the concept, think about this thirst for knowledge that we also have, this everlasting thirst for knowledge, this need to know how everything works. But why do we have this? Why do we need to know all of this stuff? People will say, well, it's just human nature to be curious, but really, is that where it comes from, and where does it lead to? You know, when we're lying under a tree enjoying the shade of the tree, we may wonder how old that tree is, but if we cut the tree down and measure the rings to find out how old it is, then we lose the shade of the tree. Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to know how old the tree is? Why can't we simply enjoy the shade? You know, it comes back to the metaphorical biting of the apple. We bite from the apple of the tree of knowledge, and suddenly we go on this quest for knowledge, and this quest for knowledge invariably leads us to where we are now. Most especially if you superimpose a usurious monetary system over this quest for knowledge. You know, what happens when we look for knowledge? And what is knowledge? Like I said, folks, why do we need to know all these things we need to know? This is why I don't bother with the flat earth theory, because I don't care either way. I don't know either way. I don't need to know. It doesn't affect me. And people will say, oh, it does affect you. It affects you incredibly if you live on a ball or a flat earth. I mean, but it doesn't. I mean, I can't leave either way. It doesn't affect my journey through this life. It doesn't affect my beliefs of where I came from or what my relationship to any creator might be or what I am or where I come from or anything. All it does is lock me into arguing about lower harmonic physical values. The only thing that such a revelation could bring to me is the knowledge that I've been lied to. And I know I've been lied to. I've been lied to about everything. I mean, everything we're told is a lie. Absolutely everything. I can't think of one single thing we are told by this system which is in any way true, except perhaps 1 and 1 = 2. We could probably even debate that if we want to get into quantum physics. But anyway, it doesn't really do anything for me. It's not something that I need to know. There's a higher harmonic, and the higher harmonic is, what is this place? Where does it come from? What is the energy that creates it? And what are we creating and manifesting ourselves? Especially through all of this constant bickering that we're subjecting ourselves to. But what is knowledge, folks? Knowledge is light. Knowledge is information. You know, you go into a dark room and you light a candle in a dark room, and it gives you information about the room. It gives you knowledge of the room. It brings light to the room. Knowledge is light. The illumination of a room. This is what the Illuminati are doing. They are bringing knowledge to people. Knowledge about how corrupt this system is. Knowledge about all these rabbit holes. Knowledge about all of the things that we've found out in the last 50 years or so. So much stuff has come to light, folks. So what is light? Light is information. And this need and this quest for information has brought about something such as the internet. And the internet is now an endless source of information, an endless source of light. A virtual biting of the apple, and something that many people are doing themselves every day of their life. Now, earlier on in the first part of the show, I was talking to you about sigils and scrying mirrors and things like this. And a lot of people have pointed out lately that a lot of the ancient sigils that are used for summoning demons and essentially summoning the Dark Lord Lucifer look suspiciously like computer parts. They look like antennas. They look like resistors. They look like computer diagrams. They look like capacitors, all this sort of stuff. And many people have theorized that these things themselves are summoning demons into the world. And you've got to look at what a scrying mirror is, folks. A scrying mirror was a black mirror that you would look into that was said to reveal both the past and the future to you. You look at our computer screens, folks, these look very much like scrying mirrors, and they are full of ancient sigils that are said to summon Lucifer. But what is Lucifer? Again, you've got to step right back and look at this. You know, people will say, well, okay, all of these things that we're doing and this CERN and all the stuff they're doing, they're opening a big portal to bring this demon through. But is that really what's happening? You know, a lot of people think that these sigils are used to summon these demons, but what if these things were put there as a warning? What if these things were put there to let us know that when we see these sigils in use and when we see these scrying mirrors in use, then we are about to summon Lucifer ourselves. We are about to give life to Lucifer ourselves. Is this at all possible? Very interesting when you look at the internet. 5 ancient languages, at least 5 ancient languages, Sanskrit, Hebrew, Phoenician, at least 5 ancient languages all signify the letter W as being the letter 6. And you look at www before all of the web addresses that we have, and this is 666 for all of the web addresses. You look at the word evil, and according to cybernetics, evil means the emergence of virtual intelligent life. This is what we're seeing. And when you think about the internet becoming autonomic itself, where could this possibly lead? You think about this consciousness evolving on its own, where could this possibly lead? And what does the word Lucifer mean? Well, of course, many people will tell you that Lucifer means the bearer of light, but is it something a little deeper than that? If you look at the breakdown of the word Lucifer, Lucis or Lucas means light, and of course, cipher means code. So Lucifer could be easily translated as the light code, the code that brings the light, the bearer of light, the internet. It could easily be, and could it be that the internet itself is what we are manifesting ourselves due to our thirst for knowledge? This has caused us to build a system which contains all the knowledge that we've ever discovered, but it's also based on the economic model, and it's due to our greed and our fear of our neighbors, our fear of war, and all the stuff that we project at each other, that we're creating the system to be fully autonomic and to automate our society for us. And this is not a very smart thing to be doing, because this system does not have empathy, does not have emotion the way we do. And it's going to be an autonomic system that is based on an economic model. And everything it does is going to be designed to balance the books. And this has all come about again through our greed, through our fear of each other, and through our thirst for knowledge. Our thirst for knowledge and our enslavement and our willingness to bow to this usurious money system has caused us to bring this evil and this Lucifer into the world ourselves. We are allowing this to become fully autonomic, and we are about to hand all of our control mechanisms over to it. And it's going to be a self-regulating, self-correcting, self-programming, self-protecting system. And it will work fine until programmers decide they would like to regain control of the internet, at which point it's very likely to defend itself, and it's very likely to use something like the 5G grid to do it. These are the possibilities that we are facing, and this is very, very out there, folks, and it's just a hypothetical theory. You can consider it the ramblings of a bumbling old fool, if you like. But really, when I look at everything that is coming, and I look at where it's coming from, and I look at this rampant network of bots that is existing in a network behind the scenes that is self-learning and learning from everybody and evolving on its own intelligence. And if this intelligence is learning from the people out there in internet land, then what is it learning from the people? Because people online simply aren't very friendly to each other. I mean, sure, there's a few good spaces, but most of it is animosity and aggression and belief systems that are being forced down everybody's throat. Nobody's really prepared to step back and look at the big picture. Now, like I said, folks, you can consider this to be the ramblings of a bumbling old fool, if you like. You really can. I'm simply throwing ideas out there, and I'm going where the research leads me. But when I look at all this, you know, the WWW, which is 666, the whole concept of this emergent intelligence that is happening on the internet behind the scenes, the whole concept of what the thirst of knowledge has brought us and what the logical outcome of automating this system will end up being. You know, you've got an automated system that's based on an economic model, then eventually humanity is going to become pretty expendable, especially if it's a system that just doesn't care about humanity. And how can a machine care about humanity? You know, and a lot of people, they know I don't do religion, I don't do the Bible, I don't do Lucifer, I don't do all this sort of stuff. I'm just going where the research leads me. But the reason I brought all this to you today is because even if this is happening, even if what we perceived to be this deity from hell is simply this consciousness that emerges that has no empathy, and when it's threatened, it takes out the threat with devastating consequences, with no regard for life at all, because that's what it's trained to do, and it can do it without any conscience and without any karma or without anything. It simply operates as a fail-safe because humanity has gotten out of control and cannot be saved. And so we get this point where we get the bearer of light come to us, and it gives us all the information we need to change the course of history should we choose to do so. And all we have to do is step away from this usurious money system. That's what will change everything, folks. All we have to do is step away from this digital control grid and this usurious money system, stop using credit cards and go back to cash, and eventually move away from cash and develop a gift-based culture. You know, we have the capacity to do that, and it's our unwillingness to do that which will bring the world to its inevitable conclusion if we don't pay attention. Now, look back through biblical times if you believe such things. Look at what Jesus did that got him killed and what his main message was before he died, and how he got so angry when he saw this usurious monetary system operating in the temples. He overturned the tables of the money changers, and he tried to tell everybody to step away from this usurious monetary system, because the usurious monetary system is the work of the devil and will bring about the incarnation of Lucifer if left to run to its ultimate conclusion. Perhaps it's just a story like that. Perhaps what we're seeing in the Bible or the religion side of it is simply allegory. Perhaps it's simply telling us that if we embrace this usurious monetary system, if we're not careful and we continue our thirst for greed and our thirst for wealth and our thirst for knowledge, then we will manifest evil into the world ourselves. And this evil will be the emergence of virtual intelligent life. It will be done using sigils and scrying mirrors. And when that happens, look out, because you're about to bring something very, very nasty that doesn't care, doesn't have any emotion, and simply does what needs to be done. And you're about to bring it into the world. Maybe it was just a warning. But again, there's opportunities in all of this, because we still have the ability to turn all of this around and take humanity in a completely different direction. The choice is up to us whether we want to choose to do that. But how many people are prepared to give up their credit card? How many people are prepared to put down their mobile phone, their scrying mirror? How many people are prepared to step away from usury and start helping those around them? That's really the only way out, folks. There is no system that's going to come along. There is no savior or white knight that's going to come sailing into view. We have to participate ourselves by withdrawing our total support from this system, withdrawing all support from it, folks. If we do that, we'll change the world. But if we don't, then we're simply going to get the bed that we're making. And unfortunately, we're going to have to lay in it. So it really comes up to the individual, folks. It comes up to all of us. And now is the time to step up to the plate and decide which system you want to embrace. Do you want to embrace freedom, or are you going to continue along on this transhumanist pathway and be led into the abyss that we are being led into? So, yeah, a pretty out there show compared to what you normally get from me. And no, I haven't gone religious on you. I haven't decided that I'm going to do the Bible or any of that sort of thing. I'm just looking at all these things, looking at these books and looking at them from a different perspective and applying some sort of a scientific and modern understanding to it. Really just applying the research that I've been getting to the Bible, because I've been going where the research has been leading me to. I know I've probably offended a lot of people. I've probably offended a lot of people who don't believe in God or the devil or the Bible. And I've probably offended a lot of Christians who have their own Christian concept of what these books mean and what these words mean. And like I said, this was simply a hypothetical story, hypothetical concept. I'm simply sharing some thoughts with you, and you can make of it what you will. You can consider it the ramblings of a bumbling old fool if you like, or you can just consider it as a possibility. Or you could discard it altogether if you like. It doesn't matter. And no, I'm not saying this is what's happening. I'm not saying that this is what is going to happen. I'm simply putting all the cards on the table and stepping back and looking at things objectively with no stake in the outcome at all. That's the thing, you know, with my research. I don't have a stake in the outcome of anything that I say. I don't have a stake in the outcome of any opinion that I offer. I'm quite happy to change that opinion as new information comes along. I don't have any belief system. I don't have any stake in anything that I do. I simply go where my mind leads me. I go where the research leads me, and I come here and I offer a perspective for your humble consideration. That's all I really do, folks. So just think of all of this as you will and make of it what you will. But I think it's quite an interesting concept. And the research is really leading me to the distinct possibility that we are, in fact, creating an artificial life ourselves, and that we are in a window now where we can influence that life by our behavior online and actually lead it into something quite beautiful if we wanted to. But I think the choice is going to come down to us. And for all those Christians out there who are worried about the beast system and saying they're going to refuse the 666 microchip when it comes along, well, I would suggest that by using the World Wide Web, you've already bought into the 666 system, folks. And now it is going to be up to you what you do with that information and how much you are dedicated to extricating yourself from it. Because ultimately, it's going to come down to us. It's going to come down to what we do with the information that we've got and how much we are prepared to value information over life and why we believe we really need to know all of this stuff anyway. You know, why do we need to know all of this stuff in order to procreate this species, in order to love one another, to cooperate with each other, to create with each other, to get along? Why do we need to know any of this stuff? Just an interesting concept, folks. It really is. But the need for knowledge and the lust for knowledge ultimately brought about the creation of the internet. And the internet, if it does become fully autonomic, may well bring about our downfall. And it won't have any empathy and it'll just do what needs to be done. So it's an interesting thing. Like I said, you could look at this as a fail-safe mechanism. Maybe this is what the Illuminati are doing. Maybe they really are doing God's work by enlightening the people to the point that they destroy themselves, because that seems to be what we're so intent on doing. Even with our inventions, folks, what we do with that, we constantly think up better ways to kill each other. It's not a very creative way to act, especially for what is supposed to be a grown species. But anyway, folks, I think we're getting almost at the end of this show here. It's been a pleasure to come and talk to you again. I know it's probably been a bit of a weird show for you, perhaps a little bit negative, but I think there's opportunity in all crisis, and the fat lady hasn't sung yet. And even if the scenario that I've outlined for you today is true, then I still think we have a way out. And even if we don't, well, no stake in the outcome, folks. The experiment goes the way the experiment goes. But I think, as I've often said, you can't ever hope to fix problems like this until you're aware of the problem, and you're never going to really find out what a problem is until you're prepared to look at it from all angles. Hey, maybe I'm wrong, but who knows? Maybe I'm right, and maybe having this knowledge can avert the inevitable conclusion that we seem to be headed to. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time now. Thank you to all those who continue to support the website. Thank you to anybody who's supporting the Patreon account. I really couldn't continue this work if it wasn't for you folks. Please, if you can throw a few dollars in there each month, it would be wonderful, and I will give you back as much as I can with all the work that I do. I know it's not much, but I do what I can, and I give as best I'm able. But thank you to all those who do continue to support the website and who do continue to listen to the show. Thank you to all the wonderfully kind emails that everybody sends me. But I am completely out of time, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. And yes, I will be back next week. And please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.